Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. In this two-part podcast, we talk about the upcoming rollout of ISO 222, the opportunities we can expect to see, as well as the challenges that may arise. In part one, we discuss the delays to ISO 222 and who is most affected by it. We also covered how compliance isn't over for ISO 222 once it gets through the delays. In part two, Andrew Folds, Director of Global Clearing Solutions, Product Management Advisor, Stephen Anderson, Director of Product of EMEA Enterprise Payments Advisor, as well as our own Steve Murphy, Director of Commercial Payments and Mercator Advisory Group, discuss the benefits of ISO 222 and whether or not it'll help with fraud. Andrew, Stephen, and Steve, it's great to have you back with us today. Andrew, you spoke a lot about ISO 222 previously and what we can expect. Can you remind the listeners of what the benefits are?
Yeah, I think that's a good question to sort of have, because I think that with all of these things that are going on with delays and with the cost and the expense and the effort to sort of meet these regulatory changes, I think we can lose focus on the fact that we need to look at what are the business benefits that we can sort of try to aim for. So I think that's things like, you know, these messages are containing a lot more data. There's a lot richer data. There's extended data. There's this rich format that we have, which really is allowing us to look at those messages as being able to take that data and turn it into information, which then can be used to develop new services. And I think that being able to do that enables banks to look at how can they service their customers better. You know, how can we take this data and turn it into something that is meaningful, useful, and, you know, is something that adds to the service that they're providing now. So I think that, you know, we do have this sort of, I suppose, we're in this period, I suppose, of looking at, oh, we have to do this and we have to, you know, we're being forced to do it. But we're trying to talk to everybody in terms of, yes, you have to do it, but let's see what you can do more with it, because those are the opportunities. I mean, we're looking at overlay services that can be added. We're looking at how we can sort of take that data and really sort of push it through the liquidity chains, the supply chains, and get that information to be useful and analyzed. And as I say, providing all of those types of new services that really do need to be put into place.
So it's interesting because ISO 20022 is sort of the default standard now as we go, you know, for real-time payment systems. I know in the UK they're relaunching real-time with ISO 20022 as well. So that's been around for a while. What types of use cases or what types of advantages or maybe competitive advantages are you finding that your banking clients are utilizing this for?
Yeah, it's interesting that the instant payment schemes throughout the world are immediately utilizing ISO 222. These are the systems that, you know, the new systems that are being developed and immediately using ISO 222. Here in Europe, we're looking at things like the request to pay, but also the mere fact of moving our high value systems to ISO 222 makes the ability to have interoperability between various market infrastructures. So not only have we got low value payments through SEPA, for example, in Europe, already using ISO 222, but we're going to be moving to the same package of messages in 2023 that the high value systems are using. So therefore, you can see this interoperability being facilitated by that. I think there's requests to pay things that are coming through that are being utilized by ISO. And I think that you'll see a lot more rich data services being used, such as open banking. All of these things are all going to come into it. And as you rightly say, the UK is looking at revamping its whole payments market infrastructure and being based on ISO 222, which they see as being able to offer them a lot more opportunities to provide value-added services to their payment operators.
Yeah, it's interesting because you had mentioned request to pay, which in the US we call it request for pay, but same thing. There has been some adoption by Citi and JP Morgan through Bank of New York Mellon to adopt request for pay, but it's mostly been at least so far, through the B2C model, not B2B, but I see that as a big opportunity down the line once the banks learn how to use all that data.
I think you're right. I think that it's the real difference is going to be when it's business to business. That's where I think that once the banks have settled down, understand how they're using ISO, how do they then use that knowledge and be able to work out how they can improve their business to business services? And I think that we have to wait and see. I think that a lot of banks that I've talked to are really looking at it, say, well, we know, we understand that there's benefits and advantages and that we can use, but we have to get our own house in order first before we can then go to our corporates and see how we can help them. So that's where I think as an industry, we're hoping that these delays and the stuttering start that we're seeing isn't going to result in a missed opportunity, but that the banks do take the grasping the advantage that ISO can bring them and really provide those value-added services.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got, 4,000 characters that you can utilize, there's got to be a real understanding between the parties as to how they're going to use data.
Absolutely, I agree. Yeah, for sure.
I'd like to talk about a topic that's been top of mind for almost everyone, fraud. How, will ISO 222 help tackle fraud in any way?
Fraud's a big issue for the industry on a global basis. Fraud occurs all the time, and fraudsters are constantly evolving their methods which they attack people's bank accounts. But yes, I think ISO 222 will provide benefits to both account holders and banks in terms of combating fraud. What we've seen in the UK and in other countries in Europe, where something called confirmation of payee is an operation, that the increased data that's provided by the confirmation of payee, essentially what that means is when you're making a payment, you can actually check the name of the payment against the name of the invoice, for example. That's reduced fraud by anything up to about 30%. And it's not that it's ISO 222 data, but it demonstrates that having more data in terms of the transaction helps assist in terms of combating fraud. The more data we have, the more you can investigate the transaction and ensure that the transaction is going to where it's supposed to go. So there's plenty of opportunities there for ISO 222 to be used in terms of combating fraud.
That's interesting, Stephen, because since we're talking about ISO being part of faster payment systems, that's a lot of the discussion we hear is faster payments, faster fraud, as opposed to, ISO specifically. And what the feedback we get is that there isn't necessarily more fraud happening because of faster payments. There is more fraud happening, or more intent to commit fraud happening in general since the pandemic hit. And as we become more electronic, there are new schemes that are being developed by the fraudsters. But it's an interesting point that you make, because of that data, really what banks need to do is to update their systems to be able to take advantage of the behavioral patterns and the data and the ability to deal with that data to identify what's going on.
Yes, so part of the data in ISO 222 allows you to see ultimate beneficiaries of accounts. So you can not only see where the money is going, but also who owns the account as well. So the more data that can be checked in terms of the transaction, it enables deeper, richer information to be provided. So you can actually see the ultimate beneficial source of where the funds are going. And that enables more checks to be taking place in real time. Now, as you say, with instant payments or with real-time payments, the money flows faster, but that doesn't mean that fraud can't be tracked through real-time systems using the data that's going through the systems.
Correct. I mean, they've got things in place to track behavior. It just has to be on, and you have to be able to deal with it 24/7 by 365.
Yes, and checking that data is crucial to making sure that fraud at least is checked as much as it can be.
Andrew, Stephen, and Steve, thank you so much for your insights and perspective. For those that may have missed part one, there's a link to it in the body of this article. I highly encourage you to have a listen. Thanks again, all, and have a great day.